Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens, and Rob the Old Guy. He's back in studio.
Yeah. Rob Charney's here.
Yep. Yeah.
And in 1928, sliced bread was created, first sold to market for average consumer. And in 1922, America's sweetheart was born. Ladies and gentlemen, Betty White was born 99 years ago, from a couple of days ago. She is 99 years old.
Pretty amazing. I was looking at some of her early photos, and she was quite the looker.
She was quite the looker. Yeah. And, you know, I looked it up yesterday, and she was married to her husband until 81.
Right.
When he died. And IMDb says she'd never remarried.
No, she hasn't.
So
that's kind of interesting. I mean, I know she's got her own fortune, but, you know, I don't think that was the reasoning. It's just interesting that she just stayed married to the same man. And
so this is
a game show host. I just lost his name.
Alan Ludden.
Alan Ludden. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So Dick Barker. She was married from 45 to 45. Wow, that was a quick marriage. Lane Allen from 47 to 49. By the way, that was pretty big taboo for a woman to be...
That was...
divorced. Yeah. And then Alan Ludden was from 1963 to 1981.
Yeah, it's...
She had enough after three.
Hats off. I got to give her props for being one of those people in Hollywood who... Now... Considering Hollywood, all those marriages is not married a lot that she's had. So I just got to give her hats off for, you know, sticking with a guy for that long.
Yeah.
She was married to the guy who was the host of Password from 61 to 1980. I did not realize she married him.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That dude was goofy.
He was a good guy.
Well, that's probably why she stuck with him.
She's pretty goofier, too.
Yeah.
If you guys ever want to watch Password, Pluto TV, that app,
yeah,
they have one of the game show networks, and it's on there all the time, and it's hilarious.
Yeah. Game shows can be pretty funny. The old ones.
Yeah. I don't know.
And we're going to go from a birthday to a death, legendary music producer and pervert and more, died in prison, Phil Spector. The creator of Wall of Sound died from COVID-19 at 81 years old. And everybody has said, okay.
Well, if we're talking about deaths, you might as well mention the Night Stalker. He died too.
Richard Ramirez?
Yep. He died of cancer, I believe. Last week.
Why wasn't that all over the news? Scumbag dies.
I don't know.
I heard it. It wasn't a big deal. I mean, who cares about a mass murderer, right?
I don't know. You would think somebody like him, they would make it known. But
Netflix did put out a documentary on him recently too. So basically, kind of like he died. Here we can talk about this.
I'll have to take a look at that Netflix documentary when I get a chance.
It was pretty interesting. I mean, we were alive during the time. I remember little bits and pieces of the whole thing, but you know, I was only about 4 or 5 years old when all of that went down. So, yeah, it's not something I remember distinctly. I do remember the. You know, after all of it, that people were still very concerned about, you know, locking their doors, checking their windows and things like that, because he was a psychopath who just, you know, would break in people's houses. It didn't matter who they were.
So talk about serial killers. They solved some of the Zodiac killers.
They did.
They solved some of them.
Yeah. Well, no, you're talking about his
message, code.
Yeah. Cipher.
Yeah, they finally cracked his cipher after
I saw that.
50 years or 40 years.
Yeah, well, they put a couple of supercomputers on it, and they actually managed to do it.
So I keep interrupting James. So James.
Oh, I got to write something down now since John changed the subject again.
Oh, geez. Here we go.
So what I wanted to bring up was... We're currently living in a country that I personally, from what we keep seeing, is not going to come together. And this is basically coming from both sides. And personally, myself, I'm not going to join any side. I'm not going to go on, you know, the right wing, leftist, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, Green Party, whatever the fuck they want to be. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's basically what's dividing our country. We've got too many people that side with one thing. And then on top of that, we have all these different terminologies such as fake news, corrupt media. You know, the politicians are all corrupt and all the other shit. And then we have social media, which I see a lot of people, if they get somebody who doesn't agree with them, what do? They delete them. They don't try to actually have a conversation with them. So they delete them. And then what do they treat? They're basically what Facebook calls it, their news feed, as a news source, which is basically getting only things that they agree with. And then I've seen it multiple times, and I saw it during the whole Capitol riots, where people are posting memes as a legitimate news source. So that's the news source they're getting. And then instead of going out and trying to find different news sources, because not all news sources are going to be fake news. To believe all politicians and to believe all journalist avenues are all fake and corrupt is idiotic. Not everybody in the news media is just going to be publishing whatever hypocrisy or fake corruption, I guess, the studios want them to. They're going to actually try to be publishing actual news sources, news stories. And same with politicians. And that's what I see is what is the basis and stirring of the Capitol riots. And that was an insurrection, treason, and a full-on attempted lynching. And they're claiming voter fraud. Well, guess what, people? Voter fraud has been out since the founding of our country. Back in 1876, if you look at Rutherford Hayes, that was a big one. They were actually at the polls, like, threatening people's lives on whether what way they were going to vote. So the whole bullshit about the voter fraud, well, that's been around forever.
And oh, yeah. Just ballot stuffing. Side, and, yeah, it's
voter fraud. Your side really, lost.
Yeah, no.
Just means you didn't cheat enough, I guess.
Yeah, you didn't get enough of those dead bodies to vote.
Yeah, so it just didn't go their way. So all I see is just a full-on temper tantrum from their side.
Both sides are doing it. That's because I totally agree. This is part of what we mentioned last week about yellow journalism was right. It bleeds, it leads. There's no real news. Everything now is like the weekly world news. Yeah. If anybody actually remembers that,
you know.
And then one more thing. Then we look at the pandemic, and if we want to see where our country's leaders' loyalties lie during this pandemic, as Congress and the Senate are supposed to be passing the stimulus packages and dealing with the pandemic, what actually got passed the most? Raises. They gave themselves
of course
more than one raise in 2020.
Yeah.
And
and we want to know where the issues are.
And the other part that I think we should mention is the stimulus package. They purposely, at least the Democrats, purposely were holding off on communicating about the other stimulus package because they would have rather had the issue than solve the problem. And Republicans do the same thing. They did that during Trump's election with the Obama Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
Line. I mean, they don't care. It's and this is why when I tell people politics is a game, nobody seems to quite get that.
And I want to point out this as well. Is now when the first stimulus checks went out, they went out really quickly. And then they were talking about a second one. The first one I was like, okay, you know, I kind of hope it goes through, but I didn't really look into it. And then when they were talking about the second one, I was like, okay, this seems a little excessive to be putting out a second one so quickly. So I went and actually started looking to see what types of proposals were being put out there. And I don't know if you guys, either Rob or John, looked, but the worst ones were from the Trump administration. They were specifically for big business. And all they really did for the little guys that are losing their jobs was tax breaks. Basically, he said what the, came out of the Trump administration for the first proposal and the second proposal from his administration were that we could have write-offs on our tax returns.
Okay.
Yeah. That's exactly what I said. I looked at it and I went over and I kept and I looked it over about three different times trying to see exactly if I was reading it right. But they were paycheck, mostly paycheck breaks for big companies,
right?
Conglomerates and other big businesses. There were paycheck breaks for them. But for the individuals, it was tax return write-offs. It just boggled my mind.
And they,
I don't see that how that would help, considering that at the time, our next tax returns were coming in 2021.
And don't forget how they bungled it. I know multiple people, me included, who it went to a different bank account.
Yeah.
And H&R Block. So James brings up the stimulus, and I wanted to talk about something real quick about that. And I think this is a good part of the conversation. The first stimulus was allegedly around $300 billion. The second stimulus, from what I can find, this is a quick and dirty Google search, $900 billion. So from the latest amount I just saw, and this is from CNN.com, the key parts of a $1.9 trillion dollar stimulus. And here's an honest question. How much is too much? And I don't get me wrong. I don't want to lose everything again. I lost everything during the housing crash. So if you guys don't think I understand the pain of things, trust me, I do. But the question is, how much is too much? Because at this point, you're not robbing from Peter to pay Paul. You're robbing from Steve, who gave to Mary, who's gave to Paul. Yeah. There's a point of no return.
So, again, the whole idea is, what are you going to spend the stimulus money on, right? So you get this money, and so what are you spending it on, especially during a pandemic when it's a lockdown? You can't go to restaurants. You can't go to movies. Most of the malls are shut down. Yeah. So you put this money out so that people can survive, and so most of that money is going towards food and rent.
And Amazon.
And Amazon.
Because I bought in a few things. With this latest stimulus, there's a few things that I wanted to get, so I purchased it.
According to the debt clock by Truth in Accounting, the U.S. published national debt is $27 trillion. They actually say that we are 100, the Truth website says the Truth, the unpublished is $138 trillion. Now, even if that's wrong, the 138 trillion, $27 trillion in debt, and we're gonna add another $2 trillion to that, I just kind of see that.
So surprisingly enough,
my mind.
I know.
So surprisingly enough, about trillions of dollars like this.
I talked to a couple of financial people that are, in charge of taking care of people's money, watching the stock market, doing all the things that are right. And I talked to them about this whole debt situation that, we're going into. And they both kind of went, well, who's it really affect? And I went, well, doesn't it really affect us? And the bottom line going, not really. I said, well, wait a minute. Are you telling me that we can just keep printing all this money and it really doesn't change anything. That's absolutely right. It really doesn't change anything. And so it's the whole idea, you know, we get down to when you start talking about money, right? You start talking about how is money secured? Our money is not secured. And, you know, and then all the people that talk about things like Bitcoin and some of the other cryptocurrencies that are out there. And what are they secured by? They're not secured by anything. So, you know, you kind of scratch your head a little bit and you look, you know, it used to be that, you know, our dollars are backed by gold. So if you had a dollar paper,
not anymore.
Right, you had a dollar in gold, then it went to silver and you had silver certificates too. Dollar paper, dollar and silver.
But no, you're wrong because the currency is backed by the good faith that the U.S. government, and the U.S. government would never do anything wrong.
Well, exactly. Pretty much. You're absolutely right. Now it's our money's not backed by anything. So there really is, we can sit here and say, well, I don't understand. I don't get, how can we keep racking up?
It can kill our credit rating.
To whom?
Whoever loans us money.
Nobody's going to care.
I did want to say, though, if you guys don't know how much a trillion is, it's 12 zeros, just to put it in proportion.
Yeah.
You know,
to us, it's mind-boggling. But to the people that play with the numbers, look at the stock market. The stock market's doing great. It's doing fine.
I think it was during the presidential debates back when Obama was running for president the first time. I'm sitting there and I'm listening, and not just Obama, but all the candidates at the time, I'm listening to them and I'm hearing their proposals. And I just hear trillion here, trillion there,
right,
of how much these proposals are going to cost. And part of it was Obamacare, and the other ones were the counter proposals for healthcare and things like that. And I'm just like, do they even hear themselves? Do they hear themselves talking about trillions of dollars like it doesn't matter? Yeah. And well, then every presidential debate since then, you hear them talking about, and I don't remember it before Obama. I really don't. I don't remember it when Bush was running or Kerry was running or any of those guys where they were talking about trillions of dollars like this. And then Trump comes on the scene and we hear him talking about trillions. And, you know, and then now we have Biden up here and Biden saying, I have a $1.9 trillion proposal that I'm pushing through as soon as I become president. And then in February, he said in 2 weeks, he's got another $1 trillion proposal that he's going to be pushing through as well. And I'm just like, does the concept of how much you're talking about even sink in?
Because there's no illusion of financial fiduciary responsibility in the government. Like Rand Paul is really the last person in Congress that I paid attention to. With the last couple of years, he's like, "Hey guys, eventually, the cows come back to roost," and nobody cares, and I think that's an issue. Now there is something that this is off the MotleyFool.com, so I don't
tells you a lot.
I don't 100% get it, but it says there's more convincing evidence in recent years that they're going to see a sizable pullback in 2021. Since the beginning of 2010, the S&P 500 has undergone at least 15 separate pullbacks of 5.8% or more, with 11 of these swoons taking place in a span of 13 to 70 calendar days. Basically, they're saying there's a possibility of a major pullback based on historic.
So when they evidence. Say that, what do they mean by pullback?
Basically,
the economy's slowing down.
It's a stock market correction.
So their
thing is, how big is the correction going to be? Because right now it's solely based on, like Tesla, for example. Tesla stock's based on, you know, it's based on hope and pig farts and possibilities. So it's
correct,
like,
because he's not making a profit.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like the dot-com boom.
I don't get it. I just know that people I'm talking to, financial wizards that I know, they don't agree with that.
I hope they're right. Maybe it's because I'm fiscally conservative, and it does bother me a little bit. And by the way, it bothered me years ago when the Republicans were spending money like drunken whores. Because I remember having conversation with James about this nearly 20 years ago. And when we were roommates talking about, this isn't going to end well. And, you know, maybe this is just two broke guys, you know, seeing, hey, if we spent $2 more than we have on our bank accounts, somebody's going to go knocking on our door.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that really boggles me is the fact that, you know, they talk about it the way they do. And then we just kind of see, you know, if we do anything like that as a person, we can be charged federally for this. This could become a felony.
Yeah, well,
charge we're not the government. If we spend like they do. That's the hypocrisy that drives me nuts.
Yeah. No, I know.
So I want to totally change subjects real quick.
Okay.
Because we could just go on. We could go on this.
It's not going to do us any good to talk about it anymore because who the hell knows?
So did you guys hear about the mass shooting in Chicago?
No.
On the 10th?
I did not.
Did you hear about the one in Texas?
No.
Did you hear about the gun violence going up in New York? And people are literally being shot on the street just by people walking down the street.
I have not.
There has been, since the lockdowns, there has been an average of a 20% spike in shootings in most major cities throughout our nation.
Well, let's see. We got to defund the police. We've got police in every turn being second guessed and second looked at.
Yeah.
I think you're seeing an example of law enforcement to a degree saying, what am I going to do? You know, I got to hang my ass out here. It's like they can't do anything right.
There was a guy in Chicago who went out, said he was going to blow up the whole community. Started walking down the street with a firearm, killed three people, and shot eight other people. And it stretched over a 10-mile gun battle with ended up as he took a hostage at an IHOP and was in a gun battle with officers. And basically was, you know, his range of killing spree was a 10-mile-long span.
Jeez.
And this was on the 10th of this month. And then there was another one in Texas. I'm not seeing if I have that article, where another guy went by a church and started shooting at a church. And I think he killed a couple people, maybe one or two, and ended up in another gun battle with officers. And then if you look, New York seems to be having the worst of it. Chicago, it's hard to tell if Chicago is getting the worst of gun violence. They've had a really bad history of gun violence.
It's ongoing in Chicago.
Yeah. And even San Francisco is having a spike in it as well.
So there's,
you're telling me that all the strong anti-gun bills that have been passed and all they
do nothing.
None of that does any good.
I saw the Texas one. Oh.
So yeah. there's something I wanted to.
There it is. The Texas church shooting. Let me see. The pastor of the Methodist church was killed.
That one I did hear about actually.
Three others.
How long ago was that one?
A couple of weeks ago.
This one was on the 3rd of January.
Really?
Yeah.
So there is something I want to point out real quick while James is looking that up. And this is...
I'm already done looking it up. I just pulled it up.
Okay. I just... Let me preference this, because this is something I say all the time and nobody seems to get. So, nevertheless, the court found the government had no affinity, duty to protect any person, even a child, from harm by another person. Nothing in the language of due process clause itself requires the state to protect life, liberty, and property of its citizens against invasion by private actors. And this is on Barnes Law. The police are not required to protect you. And the reason I bring that up is what Rob, myself, James, and Ryan have...
To enforce the law, right?
Their job is to enforce the law, not to protect life. Yeah. So cops can literally say, oh, I'm not going to put myself at jeopardy.
Right.
Now, they can be terminated for that, but
they can. There's been an officer that had that happen, actually.
And the reason I'm pointing that out is because the cops choosing not to help you is something you're going to see a lot more of. And I think what James is saying is proof of cops going, not my problem.
There was an officer who, I don't remember all the details, but what I do remember is he was at a store. I don't remember if it was a store or a pharmacy, and his daughter was there with him. He was off duty at the time. He did have an off-duty weapon on him, so his personal weapon. He did have it on him, and a guy came in and held the store hostage, and the officer chose to protect his daughter instead of intervening and starting a gun battle. And he was investigated, and I believe he did lose his job over not intervening to stop the
Sounds to me he's got a good law case against his department.
I don't know the follow-up details, but I would do the same thing. I think he'd be suing, and said, no.
So here's a...
this is bullshit.
June 28th, 2005 article. Justices rule, police do not have a constitutional duty to protect someone. I've got multiple articles saved on my phone.
No, so. There's tons of them, and... it's hard to fault that officer for choosing the direction he went in until you walk in his shoes.
I couldn't either.
It's difficult to, you know, to put yourself in their place, right?
Yeah.
There is something. This brings up, as if, I don't know if we've mentioned before, the old guy teaches CCW classes. And the reason I say this is there's a number of things I've heard over the years, just being involved in his class, that he always tells people about what that actually is and isn't. And you always tell me it's not a license to be a hero.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely.
You're not law enforcement. You're not anything. What it is it provides you
it's a last resort.
Yeah. It provides you an opportunity at all costs to protect yourself.
And that's the way we teach it. So.
And the reason I bring that up, not only is it a cheap plug, but the fact that nobody knows. Pulling a gun is not something that people should do lightly. Like, you watch all these action movies and you see all these people on TV and like, I just pulled it out and shot the guy. But that split second decision, ask somebody who's been in the military, that split second decision is life changing.
Yeah. Hollywood is not reality.
I learned
99% of the time. So
I learned early on as a kid that if you pull any weapon, whether it be a knife or a gun or even a baseball bat, in any hostile situation, if you pull that out, you better damn well be ready to use it, and you better be willing to accept the consequences of using it.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I think that's the issue. And if you pull it out and you're not willing to use it, that other person very well can take it from you and use it against you.
That's right.
So once you do that, as John said, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
It's going to change your life forever once you cross that line. And I guarantee that's one of the things that went through that officer's head that I brought up, of the guy that was with his daughter
right
in a store where, you know, it was being robbed.
And now, you said he was off duty, right?
He was off duty.
So basically at that moment, he's a private citizen.
Yeah. If he pulled his gun out, he knew that his daughter's life
was
very much more in jeopardy
right
than if he just protected her.
So, you know, it depends on what, and here's the problem. Every jurisdiction has a little bit different rules as to if you're an off-duty officer and you are carrying your duty weapon off-duty and something happens in which you need to be, you need to put yourself in a position where, you're going to have to act as a law enforcement officer. You have to, because you're carrying a duty weapon And because you're carrying that duty weapon, in essence, you're on duty even when you're not on duty.
But if you're carrying a private, if you're carrying your own firearm.
So it could be said if he's got an actual concealed weapons permit, which in most jurisdictions he doesn't need because he's a peace officer.
Yeah.
He's a sworn officer, so he doesn't need that.
So would his private firearm be considered a duty weapon?
So it depends on the department.
As long as it's registered with the department, I think.
So the whole issue really comes down to a little bit is that, you know, that every jurisdiction, like I said, they all have their own rules and regulations. Some of them say, hey, you know what? You're carrying a duty weapon. You're always on duty. So there is that. So
that's a tough gig.
And that may be where this gentleman fell under that situation where maybe his department says, hey, you are always on duty. You carry a duty weapon no matter what. So even though, you know, we may all sit here and say, oh, yeah, it sounds to me like he did the right thing. On the other hand, not knowing exactly what goes on with his department and how he's supposed to act off duty, I can't really talk to it because it
can we just know say the duty whole, again?
Yeah.
Sorry, there was a lot of the
duties. That's right. A lot of duties. And we'll talk next week once we have our new president installed about one of the wonderful things he talked about what you need to do when a burglar breaks into your house.
See previous statement.
Oh, yeah.
Warning shot.
Yeah, so that's a warning out to next week.
Which by the way,
right through the eye.
So to say, ladies and gentlemen, at one point he said the warning shot. Just to let you know, if you ever try that, it's usually a felony in most.
Oh yeah, you're in big trouble.
So I just want to let you know that if you do that.
Oh, he's talking smart weapons now.
So if we're out in, let's say we fly out to Chicago O'Hare Airport.
No.
And then you get reports that COVID is running rampant in your home state of California.
I know where this one is.
What would you do, Rob, since John seems to know the story?
Me? So I'm in Chicago. Okay, let's try this again. I'm in Chicago, and I hear that my home state, California, that COVID is running rampant. What would I do? I'd fly back home.
Camp in the airport.
Well, according to this news report, a 33-year-old man decided that he was going to stay and live
at the airport
in Chicago's O'Hare Airport for 3 months.
I saw that one coming.
Good for him.
He stayed there for 3 months undetected.
Undetected.
That's good
and
for
they
him.
Finally found him. And they finally found him this month. He started in October.
What laws was he breaking, actually?
Defrauding an innkeeper.
Apparently, he was in areas that had the do not enter portions.
So trespassing?
Right. So I assume they got him on some trespassing charges. His bail has been set at $1,000 and he's got a court date on the 27th. But he decided
to. Was he told not to leave the airport to his court date? You can't leave. Sorry. Bail's $1,000. Big deal.
I wonder, you know, if he has squatter's rights now.
What's it going to be? $1,000 bail? He says, hey, screw it. I'm finally going to go home.
He's been eating airport food. He has no money.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's alive. Think about that.
I'm trying to think like how he survived, like how he ate food. Like,
he must be independently wealthy.
Airports are damn expensive.
Oh, they are.
He was stopped up after the second week.
Jeez.
I saw $14 packs of cigarettes in Hawaii.
Wonder what the guy smelled like
at the airport. I'm sure he's using the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, but there's no showers that I know of.
No, he did the bum shower in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He did like the paper towel, wet paper towel with soap. I don't know.
If any of you live in Western California, you've seen the bum in there giving himself the old wash.
I've seen guys doing almost half almost completely naked in the men's room in the international airport sections giving themselves baths. So anything's possible.
And he was the one flying the plane.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I I don't know. I think I would have done what Rob said and go home.
Yeah, go home. Jiminy crickets. I've been in Chicago. Trust me, you don't want to live there. 3 months? I don't want to spend 2 hours in Chicago airport.
No, I don't even want to. Yeah, I don't either.
Chicago and Denver are two airports I can permanently skip the rest of my life.
So this is something I was going to bring up to John back in November, but we kept on getting sidetracked. Did you hear about the Dune RPG, John?
No, even though I've seen a lot of people talking about Doom lately, I did not.
Dune Adventures in the Imperium.
Oh, Dune.
Yeah, Dune.
I'll be honest, that sounds like an awfully boring game. I don't.
What are you doing? Digging? You're mining for spice.
So there was a couple of real time strategy games with Dune, and so I'm trying to figure out. Besides the rich, amazing story in there,
oh God,
it's
can you
all
not say it like that again.
It's
his favorite movie, man.
Hey, I really like the movie. The books are hard to.
Well, he needs anything that'll put him asleep. He likes.
If you
gotta put him to sleep, mining spice.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of like reading the A+ certification manual for tech guys.
I wonder if that even exists anymore.
It still does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Does it?
However, it talks about stuff that nobody's used to.
Yeah. Right.
Last time I looked it up.
Still doing DOS commands. Because I'm sure you saw it. Never mind.
Oh, God.
We jumped off your topic. Anyway, okay, so.
Oh, yeah. Dune RPG.
Oh, my gosh. Can you be a worm?
That'd be hilarious.
That'd be cool.
That'd be interesting.
Well, technically, if you read the books, one of his kids becomes a worm. So, in theory,
there
yes.
There you go.
Wait, yeah. What?
Gets swallowed by a worm and turns into one.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I guess.
So did you know?
It's fiction. It doesn't have to make sense.
Did you know the U.S., the U.N., the European Union.
The Europe.
The okay. Europe.
Okay, George W. I'm using the Google.
The Google. So we decided, they decided that yellow mealworms are now safe for humans to eat.
Yellow meal, really?
Yeah. So in the European
UN,
Union,
wait, why does the UN
not United Nations?
Oh, okay,
EU.
Okay.
EU.
EU.
European Union.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the UN.
I may have said that by mistake. United, excuse me.
You might have said
EU.
UN.
I may have. You know, EU, UN, it's all the same. It blends together. No, the European Union says that mealworms are safe to eat now, and so they're going to. You know, they figure, we'll throw some mealworms in finger foods and smoothies and biscuits and pasta and maybe some burgers, you know, to help bulk that up. You know, we're going to start using mealworms all across the country. And everybody's kind of reacting to it differently. And then a doctor spoke up and said, which is interesting here, it says, so you know how some people have peanut allergies?
Yeah.
Okay, so there are people that have allergies to dust.
They taste like peanuts.
They do. Tastes like chicken.
That's not what I've heard some ladies say that too.
Tastes like chicken. Dust mites. So they have dust mite allergies, and they're likely to suffer a reaction to the mealworms, which are basically a form of a larvae. And so whether eaten in a powder form or as part of a recipe or something, that you're going to start seeing people popping up with all kinds of allergies now if they actually start doing that.
Didn't Jerry Mathers, a.k.a. the Beaver, almost die from a stunt involving a mealworm?
Not that I know of.
Because it was like on one
the
of these.
The Beave?
Yeah, he almost.
Was challenged eating mealworms. The challenging mealworms has been going around as long as it's been mealworms. I mean, I dare you to eat one. They're not known to be poisonous.
No. I mean, I swear it was like on the Tonight Show or one of these things where
they
did it.
Cause asthma symptoms in people as well.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. So now after the EU, make sure I didn't mispronounce that.
UN.
Yeah. After the EU says that we're going to start allowing them to throw it into everything, why they want to do that, I'm not. Other than maybe bulking up the food. I'm not 100% certain why. Anyway, it's got to be a hell of a lobby that the mealworm industry must have over at the European Union. The lobby's doing great. So now I got mealworms for you. We're going to put mealworms and everything. Going to make all your mealworm farmers rich now. Okay, that's a possibility.
So actually, so ish, so... So Jay Leno, so it was either a bug, or a grub, or a worm, according to what I found, that allegedly almost killed him. It made him sick.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, it's...
Okay, but now, this is where, I'm with Rob on this one. Why?
Protein.
Because
I guarantee what you're going to see next, you're going to see Kim Kardashian or Kanye West or one of these other vacuous celebrities saying, you want to do better, eat mealworm dust. It's great for you, you know?
See, the only thing I can do is join with Rob in saying that all they're really going to do is just crush it up and add it to, let's say, like ground beef or flour.
Exactly.
Or things like that, as Rob said, to bulk it up, to make it go farther.
Or when you go
is this like trying to solve our food crisis?
Yeah.
Worldwide?
Sounds
is
like
that
it,
what
right?
It is?
No, I still, you know, my own, follow the money, man. And so I'm
it's
going.
Big meal.
I'm going, all right, so that, I'm telling you.
And who the hell is a mealworm lobbyist?
I don't know if there is one, but I'm going to become one because I can't.
You know, I think I discovered who this is for. It's all those smoothie shops around the place. So now you can have an additional option of more natural instead of whey proteins. Like, would you like mealworm protein?
You know, I know in Europe they've got some really odd things about insects and you know, they got things with crickets and locusts and beetles and lesser mealworms and all kinds of other strange things over there.
Mealworms.
Yeah. I'm sitting here scratching my head on this one. And so there was apparently a whole scientific study examining the safety of yellow mealworms. But it has been recommended that it should not be eaten by people with allergies to crustaceans and dust mites and other things. So I'm sitting there going, okay, so
how much did that study cost?
I'm telling you, it's the lobby, man. Obviously they've been paid off, these scientists and all these other people in the EU that make these laws, because none of this makes any sense to me.
I got it. This is the no meat lobby. These are the people that these are the vegetarian. That's the vegetarian lobby saying this is the other white meat.
Yeah.
Besides chicken, pork, and human.
Yeah. Well.
No. See, it's got to be kind of what Rob's saying. This has got to be a whole thing about trying to solve the food crisis worldwide, but to also have it where I guess these mealworm lobbyists are coming out of the woodwork to make this happen. Cause I have never heard of anybody calling to eat mealworms.
And it's like, they're just coming out of the ground telling you guys to eat it.
Literally. So there's a recipe. Jimin's Edible Insect Company. A yellow mealworm cupcake. Here you go, James. This is going to be a new thing at your restaurant.
That's going to make my son really happy. Hey, son, here's this really cupcake.
They have a whole recipe for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what's next, a grub cocktail?
I don't know. I give up.
A spider souffle?
Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there because I'm sitting here trying to figure out, like I always say, follow the money, and I'm trying to figure out where the money is for this. Sorry, I walked away from a mic. Where the money is for this thing, and the only thing I can come up with is a lobbyist and the whoever's a major mealworm grower.
A tarantula tartare?
I don't know. You get those little spines and their legs stuck in the back of your throat.
I'm doing this
then
just
you kind of sound like me.
I'm doing this just to make James sigh.
I was more sighing for England charging a man 200 pounds for breaking their COVID lockdown to play Pokemon Go.
Mm.
So it's like $600?
$270.
Yeah. The exchange rate's a little more even than it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just, okay.
I don't know, you know, I guess with the outbreaks in Europe, the way things have been in their lockdown, I'm not sure that you look at some of the statistics and you look at that, and I hate to keep talking COVID. I mean, it'd be nice just to, you know, the whole thing just to go away. But, you know, you got some of the scientists out there saying, hey, you know, this lockdown's working in Europe really great. Everything's really good. They're really locked down really nice and tight and all that. And then you look at some of it, and then you look at it compared to some of the Asian countries, and then you look at it compared to us, and then our states versus, you know, lockdown states versus open states. And I don't see numbers being really hugely different in any of it.
But we have the highest COVID count of anybody in the world.
Who knows if that's true or not? See, and then I'm back to, you know, prove to me that those numbers that the you know, anybody in Europe or Asia or whatever, they're truly reporting. Tell me that the Chinese are truly reporting the numbers that are truthful.
And prove to me a particular presidential partner is not a man.
Now's the time for the cricket. The crickets. That stopped everything dead. I really should have been crickets playing in the background of that one. You missed your drop on that one, buddy.
I couldn't resist. I was actually waiting for that face was worth it. You're right. As far as the reporting, particular when this whole thing started, I know a lot of people were pretty pissed about China's alleged numbers, because the stories I heard, they were welding people in their houses.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of stories. I don't know if I believe that one or not, but they were pretty serious about it.
China, there's
they locked down. They locked down.
I totally believe they would weld people in there.
Well, anything's possible. I'm not going to go that far yet, because I don't want any Chinese people coming after me.
Yeah, that's right. They're gonna go. Who's this? Who's this bum from where? Yeah, he lives. What
he said? What about us? We'll teach him. We'll teach him. We're gonna poison his. No, I'm better Trump, not say that.
Donald Trump has more to worry from the Chinese than us in the middle of Bumsville.
I know. I just don't want my fortune cookie poisoned.
But fortune cookies are an American invention. They're not Chinese.
Okay. So anyway, I don't believe, I have a hard time seeing now I'm a denier to a degree. I have a hard time actually believing the numbers that are being reported out worldwide. And I'm not just talking some of the suspected countries that you might like. I don't think North Korea is probably going to report out exactly what's right or not. But, you know, I don't, have we heard much from Russia? Russia's been awfully quiet lately, and it's interesting to me to, you know, what are their numbers, and why aren't we hearing more about what they're doing over there? And
they have the cure, remember?
They have the cure. Well, so, you know, speaking of that, and then this whole vaccine rollout seems to me, here's the other issue I'm scratching my head at a little bit. We've got all these, I don't know, a billion some doses of the vaccine produced now. And we keep looking at the rollouts and you know, who's supposed to get them first, and they're left to each state to kind of more or less dictate as to how they want to go ahead and get the rollouts done. And California has been an absolute failure. And I don't know about you guys, but I went on to our local health department here, and I wanted to see when I could go ahead and maybe sign up for the vaccine. And I went on the website, and I would look at these dates, and I'd say, okay, well, I can make that date, and it says it's available, and I click on it, page crashes. I'd go, okay, start it again, go back, I'll go, all right, I'm going to try this date. Click, page crashes. I go back. I literally did it at least a half a dozen times. I finally gave up. I said, okay, obviously they've got a problem.
It's like me trying to buy an Xbox Series X during Christmas.
Exactly. That's what it was like. It's the same thing. So, you know, so I've got a date sometime in February to get this vaccine, and I will do my due diligence and report on the show exactly all the side effects I get and what it's going to do. And I had the choice between, there are some, you can make some choices between Moderna and Pfizer. And I went with Pfizer because I was recently reading about an awful lot of reactions to the Madeira vaccine. And as a matter of fact, one of the counties, I believe in California, doing Madeira has stopped with Madeira because so many people have started having some side effects. Now, none of them serious or death-threatening as far as I know, but enough that they kind of went, oh, pause, wait a minute, something's going on.
So I know from, it's third party, but it's a reliable source, that one person's
hand. Third party reliable? That's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Oh, it's second party, really. But,
all right. Oh, there you go.
That's second great. Or third party.
It's not but telephone.
This one person's hand went completely dead. I think that was
I've heard Ryan, every story. Yeah.
And somebody said their face went numb. And somebody completely passed out. Where that happens, this is google.com, far as you talk about the COVID numbers. So according to this, if it's accurate or not, no idea. Russia is 3.53 million. United States current count doesn't tell me when this was from, but it says 24.1 million.
Whoa. 24 million
total cases of COVID.
I think the number's okay. That might have been a bit.
I don't know how old this is.
Okay.
This is updated less than 20 minutes ago. Russian deaths are 64,601. I question that.
That seems awfully low, doesn't it?
It does. United States is 399,000.
Yeah, see, there's a reporting issue right off the bat.
So according to this, the United Kingdom is 3.4 million with 89,000 deaths.
See, so Britain, with a fraction of the population of Russia, has three times the amount of deaths.
But it's a smaller island, though. Plus the fact they got a
smaller island. Russia is not an island. But okay, go ahead.
Let's make it one. But it's a smaller sample size.
Ronald
though,
Reagan
so.
Wanted to. I don't know. That's what I talk about the numbers. The numbers are very, very strange as far as the reporting, and I think. If I was one of these hoity-toity talking head journalists out there, I'd certainly be questioning worldwide, the numbers that are being reported. But all you hear them out there is spewing out these numbers and not really questioning what's going on. But at least I forget that that's not real journalism anyway. So we're all listening to fake news.
Well, it's because
of course, yeah.
Because everything. Listen to some of the news. What was it? The talking heads. You know, they call it news anchorettes.
News anchorettes.
Yeah, because what was it? Remember years ago? I remember when everybody went from Walter Cronkite to Cindy Crawford. All of a sudden, you saw this talking head lady who no idea if she's intelligent or not. But if you go by the size of her cleavage, she was showing.
I'll tell you what.
If you go by
Fox has the best looking news anchors in the world.
Reminds me
except
of,
for the Canada that had the news show for a while, the Naked News. Do you remember that? I wonder if that still exists.
Probably does. Reminds me of the chick who played Deanna Troy. She said as soon as she had cleavage, her brain went away in the show.
That's right.
So that's what it seems like if you watch some of these Fox News people.
I don't know. Yeah, I got to tell you, there was a young lady on reporting, conservative reporter, on Fox News that...
who could be your granddaughter, by the way.
Oh, my God. It was like, how could you take it serious? I'm sorry. I mean, she had... It was difficult. It just didn't look right. You know, you're reporting this conservative nose and you look like a Barbie. I mean, it's just like, wow.
So you don't think attractive women could
No, right. So no, I mean
uh-oh.
No.
Canceled.
And they're not all supposed to look like Katie Kirk. I'm sorry. Does anybody remember? Hello, is this on? Does anybody remember who Katie Kirk was? There you go. I was waiting for the crickets. Okay. Long day.
But let's say, did you have your Lyme today? By that thing, you might be getting rickets.
Well, I had good news today. My pathology report came back, and I don't have cancer, so that's good news.
That's good.
Yeah. My throat's a little sore from the test. That's why I didn't sound so good in the beginning there. Takes me a while to warm up now.
Got to do those. What are those?
My vocal exercises. Yeah. I didn't have time to perform them today before I got on the air.
There's one of these old MTV shows with Metallica, the James Hetfield, their lead singer, and he's doing all these, doing all those.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hilarious. Like this badass singer, who looked like Lemmy Kilmister, just one of the greatest metal bands in history. And you just hear him going, da-da-da-da.
You think Freddie Mercury just came out there and did his stuff without any warm-ups? Come on.
Not without vodka.
Again, I mean, you know, he couldn't sing like that without warming up. He tear his vocal cords apart.
I am curious. Like, that's the one thing I've never heard about. Like, what was his warm up routine besides vodka and Company?
Yeah, right.
You know,
I don't know.
Because I heard he loved the roadies. So
I'm not going to go there. But it's just, I'm sure everybody warms up to a certain degree. Now we're getting to the whole different thing. Now we're going to get into music. We gotta call up some of these major stars and see if they'll answer a question. So what vocal warm ups did you do before you went out there and sang?
According to James Hetfield, another thing you was a warm milk Yang Jägermeister, which sounds like a gross combination.
I'd like to ask Ian Anderson that.
Yes, yeah,
the crazy didn't throw up over everyone.
Yeah, that was the first time I heard that. It's like, oh, that just sounds gross. For Ian Anderson, I'm more wondering how, like, what he did for breathing, because that if you actually watch him,
you know, we got in a discussion about how incredibly fit so many of these musicians are, with their ability to dance and move around not Elvis, but I mean, really do some incredible.
That was a fat crack, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just was. But the point, my point was, is how incredibly fit these people are to be able to jump around the stage and do that and still sing.
There's a 70-year-old somewhere who's really mad at you now.
I know.
Oh,
that's a peer. It's all right. I can take it.
Oh, by the way. You want to see, so there was Elvis doing, was it the Unchained Melody? This was Fat Elvis, so this was towards the latter part of his career. And he's just rotund. I mean, they look like they just offloaded him off the back of the truck. And he's doing the playing the piano, and there's some guy patting him off. It's like he's so big that he needs a second, you know, person to wipe off all the sweat.
He's a towel boy.
Exactly. It's like, towel boy, I need a wipe off, please.
And he became British somehow.
He's like a surgeon from a MASH unit needing a wipe off.
Got to wipe him off.
It's like, oh, man. That was hard to see, but it was hilarious.
That's sad. Kind of sad. But anyway, that was, we had a big discussion about a lot of these stars that did just incredible physical feats for, you know, a couple of hours nonstop, night after night after night. Man, pretty impressive.
Yeah, I don't envy it. I wouldn't mind the money, but I don't envy it.
You know what? For the most part, most of them earn that money. I have absolutely no problem with them making what they make, because, you know, they work their asses off. You know, how would you like to be on the road for 360 days a year? You know, you get Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's it. And then, you know, you have to do a Thanksgiving show anyway, and you know you're set for New Year's Eve. You got to do a show. So, I mean, it's just, I can't believe what these guys do.
Now, is this excluding their usual extracurricular activities?
No, they get to do those too. I don't think there's a break in that either. That's why they use buses, man. It takes a long time to get from...
Because if y'all ever want to hear some hilarious stories, look up some of the bands from the 80s, like Motley Crue and those guys, or David Lee Roth, when they talk about some of the shenanigans they happen. The fact there was never a super spreader event, no pun intended, is quite hilarious.
It's true.
You know, Motley Crue is part of the reason why hotels don't rent to musicians very often.
Yeah.
I mean, they were known for just randomly destroying everything.
Yeah, there were some bands out there that did some pretty crazy things. There's bands, though, that would rent these tour buses that go through, and one of the things they couldn't do is use the bathrooms. They were banned from using the bathroom, so they always had to stop every so often at a gas station, and they weren't doing it for the fill up the bus with fuel. They were stopping so that they could go to the bathroom.
That's hilarious.
Honest to God, that's the truth, too. Look that up.
It does remind me of a story from David Lee Roth. He talks about one of the reasons they got the reputation of destroying things, which is, back in the day, their lighting rig was extremely heavy, and he said we were one of the innovators, or yada yada yada, said, and so right in the middle of the writer, where we put, you know, okay, we have to have the brown M&Ms separated from this M&Ms and this. And right in the middle right in the middle of that, it talked about the lighting specifications and all that for some of the rigs. And he said the reason we did that is for when they, or it might have been vice versa, one of the reasons they did that was for they'd instantly go in the dressing room, and if the shit wasn't separated, they either would destroy everything, tell them to fix it, and then they'd go out and say, now fix this shit before you kill somebody. And so they did it specifically because a lot of these times these guys wouldn't read the riders and the system specs to make sure it wouldn't kill anybody. Because a lot of the times, apparently their load was so heavy that it was overloading the structural design of buildings.
Great.
Jeez.
And so.
I wonder what the sound wall weighed.
Oh, God.
We did something about that a number of years, a couple of episodes ago, where they had a couple of different versions of it. And the reason they stopped it is it took a lot of money trucking it back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was.
Grateful Dead would have. That would have been amazing.
I guess. I mean, I was never the big fan of theirs, but I would have liked to have gone and actually heard the wall just to see if it was really.
Yo, that's that. Yeah. No, I'm with you. Never mind the Grateful Dead. I just want to see their massive their stack stuff, of speakers.
Yeah.
Because reality is you could. You could see them 16 times and see 25 different versions of their music.
Which is okay, I guess. I mean, you know, some of it's okay. I just, you know, it's like anything else. You're either a fan or you're not. It's like your favorite football team or baseball team or
group of musicians. I don't get, a number of years ago, I watched a documentary of Deadheads. And it left me wondering. It
left you speechless, right? You got to wonder why these people travel around with the band. Going to concert after concert.
Because this one people, they look like.
Because you never heard the same song twice.
The couple of people were
that
refried.
Is very true with the dead.
They were refried hippies, and they had their son, and they were talking about, oh, yeah, he's homeschooled. And I'm thinking.
He's homeschooled.
It's like,
yeah, but don't forget, some of these hippies had PhDs and masters, and, you know, they're not necessarily dumb people. They just choose to live a little different lifestyle.
If these people were PhDs, that's impressive. Of
hey,
what
I got to tell you, I know some PhDs and they're pretty weird. So you never know.
Imagine Kramer from Seinfeld just drugged up more. You know, they're talking like wavy gravy in the hog farm.
Anyway. Some of it was fun back then, from what I remember. We had our good times.
You know what they say, if you remember the 60s, you weren't actually there.
Good times, bad times. Maybe there's a song with that in there.
I remember that from the Windows 95 days.
Yeah, that's right. That was Weezer, was it?
No, it was another one. Oh. The one on the Weezer was the one they did on the Happy Days.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah, because there were those.
Yeah. I know the melody, but I really thought that was still Weezer.
No, not. Weezer the ones.
Where are the other ones? And there was the other. There was Weezer and.
That was the.
Everybody had Google real quick.
So quick.
Quick. That was Windows.
Windows 95.
Windows 95, huh?
This is exciting. We're all doing like a speed race, like Bible camp, trying to figure out. Was that a laugh at you, James? That was
it's only a gaff.
Just like, okay, guys. I'm like, alrighty.
I'm gonna
bring up the fact that I like that you said with the dead, you never heard the same song twice.
Right.
Because I had one of the first albums I ever bought was a Dead album because I loved Friend of the Devil. And, you know, a few other big ones. But in that album, I came across Broke Down Palace by the Dead. And then also
Brian Eno. Okay, go ahead.
Red Rooster. Yeah, a little Red Rooster. And I tried for the life of me after I got older, I tried for the life of me to find that same version.
Mm-hmm.
Of Broke Down Palace online. It was like impossible. This is back when they had, you know, WinMix and all the other crap.
Napster, LimeWire, Audio Galaxy. Yeah.
that you could, you know, download music, and it was before it was all, you know, illegal to do it. And I kept looking for it and I couldn't find it for a very long time. I did finally find it. But you're so right, because it was that specific recording was the version I was looking for. Because they didn't do the same song twice. Because, and then I was sitting there and I came across the reason why is because of how many damn band members they actually had.
Yeah.
They had so many band members, it was ridiculous.
Well, when you were that high, they needed backups.
True.
So,
very true.
So there's those of us that like studio albums, and there's those of us that love live albums. And
I'm a stereo fan.
Studio fan, yeah.
Studio fan.
So that's part of the reason, because, you know, in all honesty, think about it as a band member playing the same song, you know, your hit band, whatever it may be, and you play that same song night after night after night. And yeah.
Imagine being Neil Peart and how tired that would get.
Trust me, that's why the same song is never the same twice.
So we're actually over time, but one of the strangest, if you anybody ever out there wants
they're
to...
They're going to rate this episode as weird.
Of course. It's the Mad Trio. We're the maddest of the mad.
They're mad.
So if you ever want to find a really strange album, it's has a studio on one side and a live album on the next, is Pink Floyd's Uma Guma.
Yeah.
They're both strange.
You had to be there, John. I'm sorry. You had to be there.
You definitely. If you had to. If you think this is going to be comfortably numb, Pipers at the Gates of Dawn, be prepared for unique.
Mm. You know, I wish we had a way of doing this show live and take callers, because I would love to hear people come and talk about Uma Guma. I would really, you know.
I've heard that album, and that's an interesting album.
Did you wear headphones?
I've listened to it quite a few times. At some point, I'm sure I did.
Okay, because it's if you don't wear headphones, you're not listening to it real. That's what it was made for.
That's right. Some nerd, some music geeks, we're gonna call about a really obscure Pink Floyd album. Going, I heard that in 1972, and I was, my dad raises his hand.
That's right. This is we're not video.
Yeah,
there's no video with this. I can do what I want with my hands.
The old guy was the original music snob.
I was. I will admit it.
He's loud and proud. No sugary bubblegum pop for him. He was listening to a guy in green tights standing on one leg blowing into a flute.
You bring up Uma Guma, but I mean you gotta bring up King Crimson with him too.
Crimson, yes.
Weird. Weird.
Yes,
King Crimson. They were the kings.
I gotta tell you, seeing them live, from what I remember.
Really?
At the time, it was pretty awesome.
You were really hearing those colors.
Well, you see any of these guys in an indoor theater, and you're just so buzzed out of your brain, you don't know what's going on by the time it's over with.
Reminds me, I don't know who did the joke. Might have been Bill Engvall, and going to a concert, and you hear a guy, you're here, take a hit. It's like, what is it? It's Metamucil.
Yeah, that's about right.
So now all these old people going.
That's right. Oh, Lord. Good times. We'll have to share them more next week.
Actually, my favorite concert experience was a concert up here, one of the local bands.
There are all 125 people in the audience?
That's maybe.
Hey, I want the concerts where there are 125 roadies. I mean, come on. Sorry.
My cousin's been to concert where there are 125 women underneath the stage, so...
He did work the Civic Auditorium in Santa Monica.
So my favorite story, and we got to go because we're way over time, is this one band was on. James and I turned to leave, and everybody followed us out. My favorite memory, because the guy was probably somewhere in his late teens, and his voice was cracking like a 13-year-old. And they were a bad band to begin with. They had local bands, you know, you're on kind of finding you're finding your thing. But, it was so awful. We were there for one band, and we had to slog through all of it just to see this amazing band from Sacramento.
Oh, doesn't that hurt?
I was one of the jerks who, like, I instigated mosh pits for the local area. through the company that was putting out all the shows, not producers.
There was the
could be
promoters.
Thank you. Yeah. The promoters, and they would ask me to come to the shows, and I would get in for free. And all I was there to do is, if the song was good, start a mosh pit. So that's what I was waiting for. You know, I was waiting for the band to get good, and these guys showed up and they just started. And I just like looked at them. I looked at John and we went outside.
Yeah.
And this is proof. James has been paid to start shit. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California Pride, for the fat man and the old guy, as always, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Goodbye.